shoot a lower score.
There's one rule.
Welcome back to the Champions Playbook. It's Scott and Jack from inside the pro shop here at Franklin Bridge. And we're talking about environments. And we learned a lot about environments today.
Yeah, you know, it was really, I've said it a lot, like, your environment grows you. You know, it either grows you or it tears you down, one of the two. And, you know, here at the Bridge, we've got a pretty great environment.
Awesome, yeah.
We have, I mean, we're like any place, like, right? We're still a work in progress. Brooks has only owned this thing for 2 years.
Crazy, yeah.
You know, there's still a lot of, this is still a young, growing business, right? And so there's a lot of,
too.
I call it growing pains, because there's mistakes, there's successes, there's this weird thing in the middle that's like, we don't really know whether it's good or bad. It just is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a lot of growing pains. I've had a lot this year and had, you know, people that love me well and, you know, challenge me to get better. You know, we've been talking about time management, you know, but like, culture really drives a lot of things, and I know that's been really important to Brooks here, and we're really doing good by and large. We've got some mistakes to recover from.
I love this place because I got to see it in its worst.
Yeah,
and my family actually lives out here in the neighborhood, and you know, I've played this course when it was at its worst, and when there was still carpet in the pub, you know, and couches and stuff like that. And just being able to see this place in its fullest form or what it's coming to be, it's super exciting to kind of see the evolution of this place. Hey, Nia.
Yeah, no, it's so no, I kind of wish I could have seen it before Brooks bought it.
It would give you even more appreciation for what's happening here.
Yeah, and that's what everybody tells me. You know, that's like, I really appreciate everything Brooks has done here, but it's really growing.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like,
it's huge.
I really do think I'd appreciate it more. I'd probably give more of myself in more tangible ways, like if I knew where it came from and all the work that goes into it. Like, people don't understand all the work that goes into any job, right? Like, I don't know what it's like to be a bartender. I don't know what it's like to be a kitchen manager, but like, I can try and imagine trying to run a restaurant.
Yeah, putting you in the shoes.
Yeah, like, yeah. If I have a complaint with, you know, whoever runs the establishment, like, if I hold it to myself, then they don't get to get any better.
Right.
Or if I have 3 or 4 bad interactions and never say anything and just go tell everybody else, then they don't get to get better, right? Like,
that's the other thing, too. I mean,
like, it's hard.
It's so hard. And being able to, I think we all have an obligation to kind of say things in the moment, right? Because that's the only way that we all get better, right?
Yeah.
And so that's something that I've really appreciated about Brooks and about the club, is that the feedback that he's gotten, he's taken that to heart, digested it, and then put that back out into the community here to make it better, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, we see that in, you know, our personal lives, but the fact to be able to see that happen in a tangible place on real estate like Franklin Bridge, it's so satisfying, because you know that your opinion matters here. And I think that's
right.
I think that's what drives people to the club and what keeps people here. And also a good reason why I think we have a pretty decent ratio of males to females who play at this course too, is because it is a place that's inclusive and a place that people know that they can come out here and play and be great.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, you know, the biggest thing, like, it was neat to see today. I had a new student come in from Arkansas Tech.
Really good.
Dude, he's going to be a stud.
Lights up.
He's won 2 state championships, which I can't take any credit for. Like, kid did that on his own. Grew up, no golf lessons ever. Won 2 state championships in the state of Colorado. With some low rounds, like
some elevation golf too.
Yeah, he hit the ball a long way up there.
Yeah.
but given that, getting to see him, you know, trying to figure out what he needed to work on, whatever, and those are fun lessons to give, but they're also really challenging.
Sure.
Because if you take somebody who's a feeler through and through and just kind of figured it out, and you make them too technical, you're in trouble.
Oh my God.
But the main point, I think, the thing that we learned is, You can see the body language off of them. Like, he's a redshirt freshman right now this year. Mm-hmm. So, or he's a freshman who's redshirting, however that's supposed to be said.
He's a redshirt freshman.
Okay. So he's he's in an environment, and Austin's a senior, fifth year because of COVID. But, like, to see them push the culture together, like, even giving them a lesson, like, I gave Micah a lesson first and then Austin.
Yeah.
And then I kind of checked them both, and they both, like, it's like watching guys in the NBA do an alley-oop. You're like, how did you guys communicate to each other?
Yeah.
Like, there's no indication. And they would just, like, flow back and forth and move into my space when they needed help, and they moved out of my space when they got the help.
Love that, dude.
Dude, it was, like, this mutual respect and movement, and then they went and played some great golf. Austin was two shots off the course record.
Yeah.
And he's only played here twice.
Yeah.
So, and then the other young man, Micah, shot one under. Never played here before.
Which is amazing, too, for him being...
And just had a new... Just working on a new movement,
yeah,
too.
Working on a new movement and being, like, a redshirt freshman. I mean, dude's good.
They call him the Wonder Boys there.
That's awesome, man. I mean, you know, you and I got to play four holes with him, you know, after hours. And, like, both of them are just striping balls around the course. And it's just like, mm-hmm. you just kind of say, like, hey, like, put your ball right there. And then the sound that comes off their club when they're hitting that ball is just different, and it lands exactly where you want it. And you're mm-hmm. like, goodness gracious. But I think that there's something to be said about that, right? Because they didn't get that good just overnight. And
right.
the culture that they're building over there, and the culture in, you know, that they've respectfully already built, is one that really interests me, because it seems, and not knowing their program, it seems like a place where, like you said, everybody has that mutual respect for each other. Everybody flows in and out, asks for help when they need it, and, you know, kind of passes off when they don't, or provides help when somebody else needs it. And it's just that kind of
right.
structure is so, so, so good in a team setting. And we were also talking today about how you establish yourself on anywhere, really. But
right.
we were talking especially on a golf course and being able to – not get two up or two down, and being right in the middle and just being able to execute. And you can't do that without a solid culture at all.
No, you can't. And the I've seen teams with high level players basically end up all tearing each other down because they're trying. It's the, what they call it, crabs in a bucket. Like,
yeah.
once one starts to climb out and, like, gets their hook on the top, like, all the others grab onto it and pull it back down.
Yeah.
And so, like, when in a competitive environment like that, what really needs to happen is one needs to climb up, grab another one, let him climb up and grab on, and then let the two of you grab three more and pull them up. And, like, that building up, like, it's really cool to see Austin as a senior. Yeah, he's only got 2 months left, but, like,
he's done his time.
Yeah.
And he's done great work.
Right.
Yeah.
But to bring in a freshman to come see me shows that he cares a lot about himself, and he's going to beat that kid through and through. Like, he doesn't want to lose to him.
Right.
However, in the same vein, there's a certain amount, like, I want to give back because of what the team's given to me, and he wants that kid to get as good as he can. Because here's the other cool part, we talked about this, the better Micah gets as the freshman, the better Austin gets as the senior.
Not only that, but don't even think of it as a symbiotic relationship between the two of them. Austin is basically saying, Micah, I see you as having real potential.
Mm.
Let me breed you into this culture that we are making here. I think you have the chops to be the ringleader of this circus when you become, you know, the head dog.
Right.
And Micah has that opportunity being redshirted, right? He has the ability to mm-hmm. see this year, see the environment that they've built this year, and then take that into his 4 years of eligibility going forward. And
right.
I think that is really right. interesting, is that the fact that Austin chose him to come down here to come
right.
and see you.
Right. And culture's a huge thing, because the other thing that great culture does is it builds trust
mm-hmm.
with one another, which allows you to give open and honest feedback with one another.
Which then builds a more complete program at the end of it.
Correct. And it gives people room and space to say, hey, you know, I screwed up, and I'm really struggling. Like, I don't know how to fix this. You know, like whether it be your golf swing, whether it be that your mental game, whether that be maybe you got stuff going on at home. Like we had a teammate one time in college. We had a great team bond for the most part. Obviously, we had our highs and lows, but again, that's the culture allows for that, yep. right? It allows for some lows yep. to be able to come out of it. But we had one guy who was really struggling on our team emotionally, and he was overworked. He was wasn't having panic attacks, was having some major anxiety issues, and he was our number two guy. And he was slated to go play in a really big tournament for us, and he came to the guys on the team and said, "Hey guys, I'm really struggling, and I'm going to withdraw myself from this tournament and let the sixth guy go." And like, dude, like he's like basically saying, I've really struggled and I've gotten behind on some things and I've really screwed up and it's created a lot of pressure in my personal life. I got to take care of this. And golf was the thing that got cut. And he's one of our best players. But like that made us get so much closer as a team.
Well, it's like you said, it's that trust. And it's the fact that he's putting the team before himself in that situation. And he knows that, listen, guys, like he knows that he can play golf, right? But he has trust in the team. He knows that he can
right.
call on those guys to step up and right. be leaders in that situation. And he's got trust in those guys, and he knows that those guys have trust in him, that he's making right. the right decision in that situation, which is super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and probably made them closer down the line too.
Well, and you know, I'm thinking about, obviously just kind of there's a lot of good that came from today, but there's a lot of like just frustrating, honest things that came from today.
Sure.
Like, yeah, dude, life happens, man. Like
yeah.
in some ways, like my weakest component, as you and I've talked, like we've built this friendship, is time management. And especially with where I'm trying to grow this thing and how big this thing is, and you've got the River Club and you've got giving free clinics, and how do you manage that? And like, you can't just give so many free clinics, and how many people do you let in and not let in? And like certain people take up all the time, but like other people don't really want to use any time. So it's okay to give this time. Like there's just so much going on, and we have COVID in the midst of it. So I couldn't do half the stuff I wanted to. Learning how to manage the tee sheet with the junior program and the ladies program, and not being able to really deliver what I had hoped to deliver. But that's growth. Like
that's growth.
That's right. Like
that's growth. That's learning. That is
like, there's a lot of things that sucked about the management of that.
Yep.
The whole, everything that is the bridge. Like it's one of the busiest golf courses in the world, but that's not a bad thing.
No.
Like people want to play here.
Yeah.
And it's great value. The culture's awesome, but like being able to have students and being able to have, I have students who are older than me, younger than me, being able to look at me and say, "Hey, Scott, you got to get this time management thing under control a little bit." Like part of it's because I want to give so much. And like, I had somebody tell me like, "Hey, Scott, like don't look at your bad time management as a curse. You want to pour so much into everybody that you end up just kind of pouring out all over the place."
Yeah.
And it,
you end up spilling.
I end up spilling yeah. rather than gently pouring in the places and into people.
I also don't want
really,
you to
really helps
discount yourself either, because like you said, like you're one guy, you're like the head of player development here.
And okay, yeah.
And you've got a bunch of different strings that you have to pull at a bunch of different times. And there's just, it's overwhelming to be completely honest, but that's a good thing. That means that people enjoy the culture that's here and that they want to get better at golf, right? Like it would be a problem if you were sitting here trying to fill up lesson times, right? Like, That would be the problem.
Right, right.
This is a good problem to have, and it is the best environment.
I hate saying that, but you're right. It is true.
This environment is the best place to figure that out too. Like you were talking to me about some of your past in the golf world, right? And how
yeah.
There was a lot of things happening there as well. But
right.
this environment gives you the opportunity and gives the club the opportunity to breed something that is better, understanding what people's needs are.
Yeah.
And those people who come and say, "I like, it would be really awesome if you guys did this." And that's something that Brooks is doing, and he's implementing feedback that everybody's
yeah.
done. And you're doing that on the game development side. And eventually this place is going to be the best place to play
yeah.
in Middle Tennessee. And it's going to be a place that rivals a private club
right.
in terms of, well, where do you want to get better?
Right.
You can join anywhere.
Well, you know,
where do you want to get better?
Well, and that's the hard part about growth, right? So like there's this weird balance. Like you look at all the leadership books, all the business books. In order to grow, you either have to spend money early and bring people in and to grow it, or you have to spend the time, which time is money, right? You spend all this extra time to try and figure it out as you go and then bring people in.
But then there's no proof of concept in the latter, right? There's no right. proof of concept in the right. latter. And so that's
why. And so it's a high level of risk.
Exactly.
And so the other thing is, like, if you can't manage things with what you have now,
you're not going to be able to
manage it with more people.
Right.
And even if those people are better. So it's like, hey, let's get this thing under control the way we are now mm-hmm. and grow it. Like, my best skill set is in fixing golf swings
mm-hmm.
and investing in people and showing them that, hey, you're really capable of doing some awesome things.
Totally.
My weakest standpoint is time management. But it's no different than fixing a golf swing, right? So, like, somebody getting better at golf, like, you're going to be strong in some areas, you're going to be weak in others. You have to work on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have to keep building what I'm good at, but also get better at this other function over here. Like, I got a planner 2 months ago and I've been sporadically using it. Like, making it a habit is just no different than you trying to make it a habit. Now, you making a habit with your golf swing just hurts you. Like,
yep.
me screwing up time management can hurt a lot of people.
Right.
And
I think what you said is very insightful, because when we start to let some of these important things take a backseat in our lives, depending mm-hmm. on what that thing is, it can really damage you, right? Like, if you're not working on your golf swing, that's fine. You're just going to suck the next time you go out and play, right?
Right, right.
But if you suck at, you know, your time management and your relationships and your obligations that, you know, keep you alive and keep food on the table, you know, that's
right.
That's something that is going to interrupt your every day.
Right.
And so we've talked about a lot right. about, you know, priorities. And I think everybody needs to hear this, is that we really need to prioritize the most important things in our life in order yeah. to free up ourselves to do the things that we want. And I think that is the one thing that hit me really hard, is that the environment that you create on a day-to-day schedule and on a day-to-day basis in your schedule, excuse me.
Yeah.
is actually going to create more freedom than the freedom that you right. think that you have right. when you just don't have anything to do, quote unquote, right? right?
Well, and you know, the hardest part about being a teacher of anything is that you, while you teach, you're simultaneously, in a lot of ways, not in every area, kind of preaching to yourself. And that's, and this is where Brooks provided me with the book and a couple other people with the book, Extreme Ownership. Like, I have to own my crap. Like, I got to own that, like, I'm not good at that, and I've got to work at that, and I'm still going to make little errors at that, but, like, let's come up with a plan. Here's the cool part. You're good at time management. Erica's good at time management. Like, she helped me get this thing up and running and get the time management going, and then when she left, like, what I didn't do was build a habit and foundation of that and keep going through the winter. Like, how am I naturally bad at that? But, like, that's the first. But because of the culture that we have here, both with my students, both with the people that are here, not just my students, like, the overall culture here, plus the leadership staff, plus you, plus Erica, Elaine, Austin, like, some of my best players who've known me for 6, 7, 8 years are like, hey, Scott, like, you got to forgive yourself a little bit and give yourself a little grace. And hey, we're here to help you get that exactly. under control. Just like I'm trying to help my students, I need help in different areas and building that culture. We have this culture of trust where you can be open with me without tearing me. Sorry for the chair, everybody. It's still squeaking. we're just going to lean back.
There you go.
All right, we're good. But like, there's a culture of trust here.
Yeah.
And a culture of like, aggressive horsepower growth. And if you said it earlier, like, what'd you say about if I can, I'm one step away, or like, however you put it.
Well, we were just talking about, you know, the steps that you've taken to get to where you're at right now. And I told you, just being open and honest, I said, Scott, you know, you're time management away from being the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
And that is, yeah. I think, so true. And that's why I love this environment that we've built. Well, you know, me in a little bit, but a lot about yeah. you guys and the leadership staff being able to, the reason why this club is the way it is because there's a group of people that have each other's backs every single day.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why, even though it's slow when you come off of a tee, you bet your hiney that Brooks is finding a way to streamline this process even more in order to get more tee times on the sheet. Like, it's it's just, that's the reason why this club is the way it is because it's constantly improving, and that's something that you really don't see in many other golf clubs.
Yeah. Well, and he inherited a really big problem.
Yeah.
And I inherited no programming whatsoever in the midst of COVID.
Right.
Now, that doesn't make it an excuse that it's not all better.
No.
But, like, and I'm thankful for students who are honest, but they're also patient. Like, and members here who are honest but also patient. Like, Brooks needs the honest feedback. Evan needs the honest feedback. Taylor needs the honest feedback. I need the honest feedback. Like, Adam needs the honest feedback. But we're not just getting, like, criticism all the time. We get criticism because we got to get better. And we're already doing great at a lot of things. But we're a fool if we think we're doing great at everything.
Exactly. And the
But they're also giving us, like we see what y'all are doing. We see your heart behind the place. We see it's growing. We see it's getting better. But we'd like it to be here.
And that's fine.
Can we get there? And and we appreciate that. And
exactly.
It's a loving place. It feels a lot like a family here.
There was something that one of my mentors in college told me, and I was just trying to do a million things at once, right? I was trying to do a million things at once, keep up with a million things at once, and he hit me with some of, like, the best words. They're very simple words. It's nothing poetic at all, but he said, if you think that you can do it on your own, you can't. And that really hit me hard because a lot of us think that we're bulletproof in a lot of ways, right? Or that the way that we're doing it is the best way to do it. But in all seriousness and in all reality, like, if you think that you can do it on your own, you're a fool. And that's just when you need that support system that that you need to breed over time in order to give yourself the best opportunity to succeed. You can't do it on your own, right? A lot of people talk about that in faith, but when you really think about it from just from being a part of an environment or being a part of a professional world, if you think that you can do it on your own, you're a fool. There's not a single big Fortune 500 CEO that has been able to build that company off of their own back. It just it just doesn't happen.
Right. And the some of the things I've seen on, like, Instagram, some of these motivations, like, recently there's been a couple things coming through there, and I listen to them because other people are listening to this.
Yeah.
And I need to know, like, some of my students are picking up on this. It's like,
right,
you're the only person who's ever been where you are. Like, you're the only person who's been through what you've been through. Like, you're the only one who's supported you. I was like, I don't care how bad your life has been, there's somebody along the way that supported you whether you saw it or not.
Well,
you're
not,
and if we go severe case, like, somebody who's been, crap, sorry guys with the chair. This is when I get passionate, I kind of move. Like, somebody somewhere supported you.
Right.
Don't be so proud to think that there haven't been opportunities that you've wasted that somebody tried to give to you. And, like, that's just the honest, like, truth.
And you can learn something from everyone.
Yeah. Like, Brooks is giving me an incredible opportunity. Like, any boss of any company anywhere that gives them their first big break and their first big time job is taking on a lot of responsibility because they know they're going to make some mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was basically running the organization that I was at previously under the guise and direction of Hank, and I learned a ton from that. I made a lot of mistakes there, but I never really truly was completely in charge of everything because it wasn't mine, right? You know,
you got to be given the reins at some point in time.
Yeah,
and there's a difference between being under somebody and making mistakes in a sub position, but you have to get the reins. You have to sit behind the wheel. You have to be responsible. And we talked about that on last week's podcast about, you know, how we can be better in our game. We were talking about that one ball challenge, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you can hit all the balls on the range that you want, but as soon as you get on the course, you only got one ball. Right. And I think there's similarities to what we're talking about here, where it's like, you have to be given the reins. You have to be given the responsibility. Because there's just a difference between being under someone and making mistakes and being on your own and making mistakes.
Well, this is where I think the parents make mistakes, and I can feel myself wanting to make this same mistake, and I'm loving that I'm getting to learn it from other people's mistakes.
Yeah.
But is like, you want so badly as a parent to not let your kids suffer and hurt.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a natural parent thing.
Totally.
And one of the hardest things for me to do as a teacher and coach is to watch my students fail and to let them fail. And parents won't let go of phases of development. When you study psychology and you study learning phases and you study parenting, etc., like, and when you become a parent and you make your own mistakes, right? But you, when a kid's 5 years old, you don't still parent them like they're two, or you shouldn't. But a lot of times you still parent them like they're two. When they're eight, you don't parent them like they're five. When they're 12, you don't parent them like they're eight. When they're 16, you don't parent them like they're 12. But like, if you keep holding on as a parent and you never let them have responsibility and you never let them make mistakes, when they get out in the real world, oh man, that thing's going to hit like a ton of bricks. And it hurts. And like, every failure hurts. If it doesn't, then you don't care.
And this is where I want to kind of parallel this back to Franklin Bridge, right? Because this club, I think, is in such an incredible position because we are in those phases of development, right? Where we are, you know, there's a bunch of people want to play. Cool. The course is backed up. Cool. Like, you know, you're going to bet your hiney that Brooks and Evan are in here trying to figure out a way to make this course more efficient and to make it playable in the future. I mean, obviously it is playable, but more playable in the future, right? This club is in a very unique place. And if you're listening to this podcast, you are in a very unique place to get in on something that is going to be massive in the years to come. And if you plan on playing at Franklin Bridge for the foreseeable future, you need to hop on this train because it's going to be bigger and badder in the future.
Yeah. Well, and for those that have supported this place, whether that be playing one round, hitting one bucket of balls, or whether that be being a member and playing every day of the week and hitting balls every day of the week and hanging out in the pub and, you know, walking around telling everybody about how great the club is, and like, whether you're that involved of a person and you've given us feedback or not, or whether you're just the guys come out and hit a ball, like, thank you.
Yes.
Like, genuinely,
yeah,
thank you. For those that have been jerks and been mean and said all the bad things and mean things and let the guys in the shop just rip them up one side and down the other when it may not be their fault at all, just like a server gets ripped up and down for food being wrong, like, the chef doesn't get the heat of it, the server does. Like, for all those people that were mean to whomever, whether intentionally or unintentionally, maybe just had a bad day and it just kind of blew out on people.
Yeah.
Thank you. For those that have come in and said, hey, you're really doing great things, I love seeing where this place is going, let me know how I can help. Thank you. Like, genuinely, every criticism that I've had, every compliment that I've had, every loving put your hand on my back, even if it makes me cry, thank you. To every staff member here at this place, here's a compliment that needs to go out. Two different places. First one, on Brooks. That when you own a place like this with this many people that love playing here and love this place, he owns all of it. He owns my mistakes. He owns like every staff member's mistakes. He owns the mistakes of people out here who play, who mistreat or make somebody else feel bad. Like, he owns all of that. He owns the successes too, but he pushes the successes out on his staff, which is incredible. And on the people here, he pushes the success out, and that's a great leader. So shout out to Brooks. Like, and then the other one, the unnamed ones, over and over and over again, are our maintenance staff.
Oh my God.
Superintendents. You just need to, like, if somebody could spend 1 week in the shoes of the superintendent.
No, dude.
There is never not a problem. There's always a problem.
Yeah.
To solve. And, like, you may be running your normal operation and you got to stop everything to go fix that problem because it's so big.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a small thing that, like, there's just, you're never ahead. You are 100% behind no matter how far ahead you try to get.
They also have an impossible job. There's always going to be divots that need to be right. grown in. There's always going to be, you know, tee boxes that are, you know, not level. There's always going to be, you know,
people that don't drive according to the, right. you know,
the people who don't repair their pitch marks on the greens. There's always going to be a problem, but those guys never get the appreciation they deserve mm-hmm. because, frankly, on a track like this, we don't host PGA events. This place is never going to be in pristine condition because this place is tracked for traffic.
But to see what they do with how busy this place is,
it's incredible.
Like, every golf course is great for like four weeks of the year.
Yep.
No golf course is that way. With the exception of maybe Southern California. But, like, no golf course is that way even 3 months of the year.
And the fact that this club never closes, the fact that you can still play winter golf here, some clubs close for four or five months out of the year, right?
Right. Like, it's incredible what they do given what we have. But, it, you know, all that to say, like, the culture – Brooks has built here, and Brooks has built it, and he owns that. He should be the one that's getting all the credit for that. But again, like I said, he pushes it down to every person here because every person here is a part of the culture that we're developing. Even the people that certain people don't like they're part of building the culture. Like, we love all of you, and I genuinely mean that. Like, it's hard to say that in such a divisive culture we live in right now, but like, we have a wonderful culture here at the Bridge, and Brooks, thank you for that. Jack, thanks for making this podcast freaking kick ass, man. Like, sorry for those of you, I don't cuss much, but like, it's kick ass, and Jack has done that. And like, I wouldn't be as good as I am on a podcast. He doesn't have to tell me to look at the toner, but like, once every like, four or five podcasts
now. Yeah, you got
now.
Better at that, yeah.
You got to turn the mic the right way. But you've helped me build that, and you're helping me grow. You're great at time management, and you're going to help. Like, you've already, as a friend, help me put some stuff in place as we were talking today. And Erica's great at time management. And so, like, I have people around me. You guys came to me and said, hey, we know how much this hurts you right now because we know where your heart is, and we want you to know we're here to help.
The people who should be in your corner are the people who give hard but constructive feedback, understanding where your heart is. Mm-hmm. The people who come and, you know, don't necessarily understand your center point, right? There's very few people who understand people's center points, right? And I mean that in like what they're grounded in, right? If you can give positive, or it doesn't even have to be positive, if you can give constructive feedback to a person when you know what their true intentions are, that can sometimes be the best advice that people are ever given.
Right.
The problem comes in is when you can give, you know, feedback that is not very constructive and there's not too much to work with in that regard and just leaves you feeling like crap.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to say thank you to the people who have played here at Franklin Bridge, is because this place would not be where it is without the feedback of the people who play here. And that is the reason why this club is going to new heights in the years to come. So thank you for that. So with that, I think we're going to wrap it here. Thank you guys for being part of our environment here at Franklin Bridge. And we'll
for
see you
on the next
one. For
people going in and leaving comments, like, y'all are awesome. People coming up and saying stuff like, oh, Jack, you're the guy on the podcast, right? Like, thank you for doing that. Like, we're building an awesome culture here. Go and improve your culture where you're at.
Amen.
See what you can do where you're at. And if it's not a great place, do what you can. Leave it better than you found it and go find a new one.
It's a great way to end it. Well, it's been Scott and Jack from Inside the Pro Shop here at Franklin Bridge. As always, please rate the podcast. Rate it 5 out of 5, 4 out of 5. We'd prefer 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
And then leave us a comment as well, letting us know what your favorite part of the environment that we've built here at Franklin Bridge and helps with you guys as well. So thanks so much. As always, it's been Scott and Jack here from Inside the Persimmon Pub. Oh. Persimmon Pub. Wow.
Oh, man, you screwed
Inside
that up.
Inside the Pro Shop here at Franklin Bridge. Soon to be in the Persimmon Pub, though, on the back porch.
Yes.
When the weather gets hot.
We have
hot.
Some big announcements coming
big
soon.
Big announcements
Hang
coming up
Hang tight
if
you've listened this
that
far.
That might be why I said it. So
there it is.
It's been Scott and Jack from Inside the Pro Shop here at Franklin Bridge. We'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Champions Playbook podcast. I'm trying to get you to shoot lower scores. The first step to do that, go buy a copy of my book on Amazon, The Champions Playbook, Thinking Your Way to Lower Scores. And no, it's not what you think. You're actually going to think before you hit the shot, not while you're hitting the shot. Well, and I'll also say this. Go check me out on Instagram, at shasseygolf. That's two S's, two E's, shasseygolf. I've got all sorts of free content on there. I've got Student of the Week. I'll let you know when all my podcasts are coming available. So go check it out, and I'm here to help you do that very one thing, shoot a lower score.